Following is paid programming by Dr. Joseph Berry. The content of this show is that of Dr. Joseph Berry and does not reflect the views or policies of this station or iHeartMedia.
Some of the information contained in this program has not been approved by the FDA, nor is it intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any diseases. Before considering anything discussed on this program, you should consult your doctor or primary care physician. Your health matters with Dr. Joe Berry on News Radio 570 WSYR, now on 106.9 FM. Bringing you the latest in medicine so you can focus on the other things that matter. Now, here's Dr. Joe. Following is a paid program brought to you by Dr. Joseph Berry. Some of the information contained in this program has not been approved by the FDA, nor is it intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any diseases. Before considering anything discussed on this program, you should consult your doctor or primary care physician. Your health matters with Dr. Joe Berry on News Radio 570 WSYR, now on 106.9 FM. Bringing you the latest in medicine so you can focus on the other things that matter. Now, here's Dr. Joe.
Thank you, producer Ian, and as always, thank you, producer Dave. It's Dr. Joe Berry, and we've got another show of Your Health Matters. And, of course, you ignore your health until something goes bad. You don't care what you put in your pie hole, but when your big toe hurts you or your leg throbs and you want attention. And I'm not saying you shouldn't treat those things, but we've got to get back to the understanding that your health is controlled by you, not President Biden and Kamala Harris, not Governor Hochul, not your daddy, not your mama, not your boss, you. You decide what goes in your mouth. And that determines your health destiny. And we're looking all around us and seeing people in terrible shape. And we wonder why, because Burger King and McDonald's and KFC and Popeyes and what's the worst? Probably Taco Bell. I'm probably going to Hades for that one. That stuff is all super, super processed. And that's all bugging up your system. It's gunking it up. You can't see it. But if you could see the different chemicals in that thing, if they had little pop-ups showing you, this contains metabisulfite. Sulfate, this contains soy lecithin, this contains, red dye number 4, 7, 42. When they say natural flavors, a person showed me a soda the other day, like a grape energy drink. And I said, well, how can it be grape if it doesn't taste like grape, if it doesn't look grape, it looks like water? How could there be things in there that make it change its flavor and it still look like water and be healthy? No. When my mom was alive, I would bring her McDonald's because that's what she wanted. And at 90, mama's going to get what mama wants. But I would bring her chicken nuggets or something from McDonald's. And one time I got the Happy Meal, my mistake, and it had apples in it, all cut up. And my mother, even at 90, with some degree of mental stability, looked at the apples inside this plastic bag from McDonald's and said, you know, something's wrong here. All these cut apples are still white as snow. And if you cut an apple up, it should start to oxidize in 15 minutes. I often cut an apple while I'm talking to patients, and while we're talking, the apple turns color. So there are too many chemicals in our environment, and you've got to get rid of them. And we'll talk more about that later, but I've got an interesting and fabulous turn to today's show. You know, I'm a big person in confronting your problems, whether it's alcohol, whether it's your mother-in-law, whether it's your kids, whether it's your boss. You can either subdue all that and subjugate it and let it fester inside you, or you can attack the problem. Don't attack your mother-in-law. You attack the problem and try and figure out how to make it better. And that, as I said over and over again, you don't get better by yourself. you don't have a good understanding of yourself. You don't have a good look at yourself. I still think I've got a full head of hair, but my wife assures me I do not. I don't know of a lot of people that have trouble with alcohol or with smoking or with drugs that can manage it on their own. I don't think that's a good idea. There's help out there. The help is in the form of pills, programs, apps. But as I said before, I think the most important way to get better is to have a group of people that support you. And over, maybe you think this is all goo-goo, gaga stuff, but over and over, everything I read, and you know I'm taking the RGCC college classes, I'm taking the Dale Bresident classes, that stress kills. And one way to minimize your stress is to have an active social group. And social groups are for are support. And as a active Suboxone provider, seeing people that are working on their narcotic addiction, all the time we talk about, are you getting support? Are you going to meetings? And there's a few people that have this problem with nicotine. And there's quite a few people that have problems with narcotics. And there's even more people that have a smoldering problem with alcohol. But all of those are dwarfed by the biggie. And the one that I hear all the time, almost from every other patient, which is, I'm addicted to food. I'm addicted to sugar. I can't help myself. I crave. And that's a mental and physical thing. And you're not going to fix it on your own. So I suggest that you find some help. And one area of help that's available to those of us that have a problem with our relationship with food is Overeaters Anonymous. You know, I'm a huge fan of Alcohol Anonymous because I think that in those meetings, lives are saved. And I have very little experience with Overeaters Anonymous, but I've got connections in that world. I spoke to my nurse practitioner. She said, let me get you someone. So today we're going to talk to Brittany, who's the spokesperson locally for Overeaters Anonymous. Brittany, welcome aboard.
Hi. Thank you, Dr. Barry.
Brittany, give people an overview, if you would, of what an Overeaters Anonymous meeting is like.
Sure, I'm happy to do that. So actually, I want to clarify one thing. I would not consider myself a spokesperson for OA. I'm simply a member of it. And so there are ways that I practice the program that are different from many people in the program. And I think you nailed it about a social support network, which is probably the primary thing, that's of importance. And many people in the program practice eating behaviors that are different from others within the program. So the idea of the program itself is, or the requirement, or that's not even the right word, what we call abstinence is the absence of compulsive eating. And so the way somebody would, many ways people could choose to come in, but the only requirement, if you will, is a desire to stop eating compulsively. And so what happens is when somebody comes into the program, that is simply it. It's very difficult, and I think you nailed it before. It is, well, first of all, it's based on the same 12 steps as AA and NA and so on. But it is also, I think, much more difficult to manage than alcoholism or drug addiction. You cannot drink and be okay. You must eat. And so people eat two meals or three meals a day. There are certain trigger foods. You mentioned sugar. There are people in program who eat, and program means OA program. There are people in program who eat sugar. There are many who don't. I would be one of those. But it's not a requirement. Again, there's no necessary way to eat. The meetings themselves, which I think what you were asking about, again, they are based in the same 12 steps as AA. So generally it's a group of people sitting in some format, whether it's a circle, which is more common, or facing front, which I actually have never seen, but so be it, we'll put that in there. And it's lay-led. So somebody of the people who are there, all of them have eating disorders on some level, compulsive eating. By the way, there are people who attend who are bulimic and anorexic and compulsive exercisers. So anything where people are compulsively trying to manage their food or their weight on some level. So anybody there has the same type of problem of compulsive eating. And so one of the members may choose to lead a particular meeting. Usually there is a preamble that lasts a few minutes, basically a structure, particularly for anybody who's new in the program, to get a sense of how we run it. There are some meetings where food requests to not mention food. There are others where it doesn't matter. We do go over the 12 steps and 12 traditions, literally just read them in most cases. In some cases, people discuss in detail a particular step or tradition, or people just bring up topics, and the topics are usually eating-related, food-related, or spiritual-related. It is a spiritual program, and if I forget, I hope you ask me about that because it's not something I mentioned. And so once a topic is brought up, and if there's a newcomer, we use the first three steps. I can also do that if you'd like. People around the room will share about their own experience, strength, and hope around that topic or those issues. What is not supposed to happen is giving advice. We only share from our own experience. And the idea is as a very loose structure, perhaps I would share about something I've struggled with regard to that topic and basically how I've dealt with it. And so the person who brought up the topic can perhaps listen and take one nugget from what I've said, or the next person. So it's not a group therapy, so nobody's talking to each other, but it's just listening to how somebody else handles it. And that's where the benefit is. So I did remember the spiritual piece. People have ideally what's called a higher power. For some people, it is a traditional Judeo-Christian God. There are some people who believe in a goddess. Some people, I've heard somebody say in a meeting that sneakers were their higher power because the sneakers brought them to a meeting. So there's no defined way to identify a spiritual whatever. I actually think my higher power, if you will, is anything that is a source of comfort and safe guidance. That could be my sponsor. It could be a doctor. It could be the meetings. It could be God in a more traditional way or anything. So there's really no one way to do the program, quote unquote. And I also believe that the process of recovering from eating disorders really, this is just my personal view. I'm not speaking for OA. I think that it is an experiment. I believe when people come into program, they find it best to manage to do what they have done and try to manage. And over time, the experiment is what works for me and what doesn't work for me. Does eating sugar help me or hurt me in terms of compulsive eating? And many people have what's called a red light food, a yellow light food, and a green light food. Green light foods I can eat it all the time, anytime. Yellow light foods means I need to be careful with these particular foods because it may lead me to compulsive eating. And red light foods are danger foods. For me personally, and this is not everybody in OA, sugar is a red light food. I need to avoid it at all costs. So hopefully that's a good basis.
Well, Brittany, you started us off nicely. We've got to take a quick break, but we'll come right back. We want to hear more about how long the meetings are, how do you find a meeting, does it cost anything, et cetera, et cetera. Do you have to share? We'll have all those questions answered. And why, my friends, it will be a good idea for you to try it, because what you're doing now isn't working. Look at you. All right, we'll get back right after this message. It's Your Health Matters. The show is on WSYR, 570 AM and 106.9 FM.
Announcing the most amazing multi-use wonder app of the 21st century.
The iHeartRadio app.
At 570WSYR.com.
2023.
News Radio 570 WSYR on iHeartRadio and 106.9 FM.
All right, Americans and Americans, before we get back to the exciting topic of Overeaters Anonymous, I just want to, because of that last ad with that nasal lavage thing. I bought one, as you know. I tried it out. It was, I had two problems I had was, it was an assault on the senses. Maybe because of my sinuses. It just didn't give me that clean rinse that I expected. And the second thing is you got to keep buying their salt water pods in order to keep using it. So a patient gave me a Neilmed, that's N-E-I-L-M-E-D, sinus rinse, which is a bottle with a straw in it that you squirt in your nose. That, I think, is going to be a winner. It looks like it cost about $10. And you can use your own salt solution. And you just put it up to your nostrils, squirt like heck, and you get a nasal douche. Secondly, I promised you I was doing telomere research. And I just got some snippets of my telomere testing. This company didn't just do telomere testing. They tested for methylation, et cetera. And my results, I'm still trying to process them all over the board. Remember I said before when I had my telomeres measured, I was 60 at the time, and it said I was like 55. Well, this looked at a bunch of different things. It said I was, now I just did it at 64. It said I'm either 63 or I'm 55 or I'm 91. So if I'm not on next week, it's because the 91 part was right. And if I'm here next week sounding young and refreshed, it's because the 50-something was right. So just works in progress. Now, getting back to Overeaters Anonymous, I've got Brittany on the phone. We were talking during the break about just the beginnings. How do you find a meeting? What are meetings like in this era of the PC, the post-COVID? Just going through a few of them. I'm looking on the OA.org site. That's OA.org. They've got a Monday 5:30 meeting in Marcellus. That's a hybrid. Thursday 6:30 St. Matthew's Episcopal Church in Liverpool. That's face-to-face. Saturday 11 o'clock Baldwinsville Public Library. Face-to-face. 7 p.m. Friday All Saints Catholic Church Parish. Only held virtually. So you, if you're a virtual person, if you're afraid to get out and be among the humans, then you do the virtual. If you want to see people, and I'm drawn to human contact where you can actually interact with people, then you go to one of the main ones. But the point is, there's lots of meetings. They're all over the place. DeWitt, North Syracuse, Marcellus, they're out there. All you have to do is make a decision to go. Now, before we go further, Brittany, are there some phone numbers people should know? Are there, other than the OA.org website, what are the references for people that are curious?
Yeah, sure. So, well, actually, OA.org is the best place. And I just want to clarify one thing. The Zoom meetings are interactive. So I may speak and the next person may speak and so on. So there is face-to-face, but the Zoom meetings basically function the same way as the face-to-face. So I just want to say that. So if people are interested, there is a local phone number, and I'll say it a couple times. The phone number... and I'll also put out an email for information directly from a person. So the phone number is 315-967-3609, and that's our local contact information. And I'll do it again. It's 315-967-3609. And you can either text or leave a voicemail there. Or there's an email address, and I'll read this twice as well. It's dmn3125 at Gmail. So it's D as in dog, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, 3125 at gmail.com. And again, it's D as in dog, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, 3125 at gmail.com. And you will get answers if you connect in that way.
And if I understand the history right, this Overeaters Anonymous has only been around since 1958, the year I was born.
Well, there you go. Maybe there's a correlation.
Well, actually, I don't know if this is true or not. It's just what the Internet says. It was started by a lady named Roseanne who was at Gamblers Anonymous. And
yes, I believe that's accurate. Mm-hmm.
She said, I'm compulsive too, but not with blackjack, but with, you know, pizza, french fries, or whatnot. So what do you think that makes people finally realize, I've got a problem? I mean, the alcoholics, they realize that when they're pulled over by the cop and they're in jail. What do you think finally makes a person, because I always tell the people change from inspiration or desperation, what do you think motivates people to finally pick up the phone or go to a meeting and finally say, I've had enough, I realize I don't have control?
So I think it's a combination of inspiration and desperation. So there are many reasons why people come in. I would say sometimes their weight is an issue and some shame around that. A doctor may say you need to get your weight in order. In my case, I was just completely out of control with food. I would binge for hours. And so I knew that that was an issue. So feeling desperate could be it. There are some people who have life-threatening issues as a result of their eating disorders. Could be high blood pressure, diabetes. And I personally have heard somebody in program talk about his mother who has died from basically eating disorder-related stuff. I believe it was diabetes. I'm not quite sure. And the inspiration is just perhaps hearing somebody else say that you need to do something. The other thing is needing to have access to resources. There are not, you know, not all communities have that. We're lucky to have that in this community. So finding out a resource is important as well.
And you mentioned we in the break that just as Alcoholics Anonymous has sponsors, so do you.
Yes. So I do have a sponsor. So a sponsor is basically a mentor who's been in program for longer than you or whoever, somebody who you admire. You admire the way they manage their program. I would say a really basic way to consider it is somebody who's been in program for a minimum of 2 years, but there's no hard and fast. I've known people who've been sponsors beforehand. The role of the sponsor is, I can tell you that I speak to my sponsor on a weekly basis as scheduled, and I've also talked to her when I felt in crisis. Even this last week, I wanted to binge over a situation in which I felt extremely emotional, and I contacted her, and we didn't talk about food. I mean, I let her know that I wanted to binge, but we talked about the issue about which I felt emotional. And at the end of the call, I had no desire to eat anymore, to eat, period, because it was the end of the day and I didn't need to eat. I have done that in the past. Usually my compulsive eating would occur in the evening after dinner. And so if I can reach my sponsor, and it would be a same gender, if somebody's gay, that can be tricky. If somebody's transgender, that could be tricky. It's basically somebody with whom you're not going to have a sexual relationship. So for a heterosexual woman, it would be a woman and so on. But basically, what I do is, I have found that if I'm feeling something emotional, I will call my sponsor. And if we talk about that particular issue, I'm much less likely to eat. And I don't know where I was going to go beyond that. So I'll shut up.
Well, I think you made a very good point earlier that difficult as it is, you can give up narcotics. You can quit smoking. You can put the pack of cigarettes away. You can never drink a beer again, but you've got to eat. Mm-hmm. And in this crazy world we live in, you know, the worst foods, the most caloric dense, least nutritional foods are presented to us like a smorgasbord at all times. And I found for me, as I tell my wife, honey, I don't have that kind of self-control. Don't put that stuff in the house, because after a glass of wine, I'm just going to open up the pie hole and it's not going to get shut until I go to bed. So if there's no chips, I turn to carrots. That's not a higher power, but it's at least one hint that's kept me from ballooning past my current weight. Now, we've got lots more to talk about, but we've got to take another break. I know they come up real quick.
Okay.
But I'm sure there's a stabbing we've got to do. Something wrong with the mall. Someday they're going to fix 81 to do something to it. But we'll hear reviews of all that. Then we'll get back together with the important stuff, which is your health. You're listening to the show called Your Health Matters. It's Brittany from OA and Dr. Barry. We'll be back in a few minutes. You're listening to WSYR. That's 570 AM, 106.9 FM. with Dr. Barry were doing a show with Overeaters Anonymous. You know, this whole program is designed to try and help you understand that if you're waiting for your sugar daddy or your big daddy or your doctor or your daddy or your sister or your wife to get your life in order, you're in trouble. You've got to do it yourself. And I can tell you from looking at a lot of people's health that most of us, and when I say us, I mean you, are really doing a terrible job between the diet, the exercise, the sleep, and the stress. You've got to deal with all four of them. And if you don't, you're not going to enjoy good health. And it all starts with the food and our relationships with food. So let me just get a little more granular with Brittany from Overeaters Anonymous. Just as a general rule, walking into a meeting, being afraid because I don't know what I'm going to see, is it 50-50 men and women? Is it 80-20 men and women? Are these usually small groups? Am I going to be asked to speak? Can I sit in the back and just watch? What is that like?
So my personal experience is it tends to be more women than men, but there are some where it's 50-50. And men are quite active in the program when they show up, and they do show up. So just to kind of say that. So when somebody walks into a meeting, usually it's pretty terrifying because once you walk into a meeting, people don't know anybody there. If somebody's lucky enough to be brought in by a friend or somebody else, it's a little bit easier, but I've heard that sometimes not. Usually people feel, if you will, metaphorically bigger than life because they've been dealing with shame or discomfort with their eating behaviors. The issue is, and in many, many meetings, people who've been in program or recovery for quite a while, many people have a fairly average weight for newer people, but not always. And so, you know, I just want to be clear, too, that weight is not what people are going in for. It's to avoid compulsive eating. And often weight stabilizes once that happens, and there are many people who lose weight. So, but sometimes people gain weight if they're anorexic. Anyway, so walking into a meeting, if they're a newcomer, they might be asked if they were a newcomer. They might be asked to share their first name if they're willing to. There are people who go to their first meeting and say not a word, and that's absolutely fine. And there are people who want to talk about why they're there, and that is absolutely fine. Nobody is forced to say anything they don't want to, and I don't remember any of your other questions.
Well, we're talking about Overeaters Anonymous and the 12 steps, and the 12 steps are overtly spiritual, where we mm-hmm. admitted we're powerless over food. We came to believe a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understand him, admitted to God, to ourselves and other human beings, the exact nature of wrongs, entirely ready to have God remove all these defects, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. What do you say to the atheists? Because there's plenty of atheists in foxholes, and I'm sure there's plenty more in kitchens.
You bet. And actually, that's a common question. I have sometimes talked to people about coming to OA, and for some people, they're quite comfortable with the idea of a God, and for some people, they want nothing to do with that. So, first of all, let me say, in terms of reading those steps, most people read them as they are. Some people have chosen to read them in a more, gender-neutral way. I don't know if that's working to be changed or not. So anyway, the idea, there are people who are atheists that come into program, and people who are atheists might not use a God. But again, the concept of a higher power, and this is my version, is anything that gives you comfort, a source of comfort and safe guidance. And as I mentioned earlier, one person said that their sneakers were their higher power because it got them to a meeting. So, people can believe in anything, and an atheist, I think, is somebody who believes in the power of humans for creativity. And so that person might consider their sponsor a higher power, the meeting a higher power. There's no requirement that people believe in a God, and particularly a Judeo-Christian God.
And typically, how often is one attending a meeting?
It varies. So it's recommended that when somebody's new to go more frequently. I personally go once a week. it really does vary. And by the way, there is no requirement. So if somebody just heard me say it's more effective if you go several times a week, zero requirement. There are some people who go once and don't come back for 5 years. So it is absolutely self-motivated. Usually the people who are in more pain want to show up more frequently. No guidelines.
Are there any costs involved?
I'm sorry, any costs?
Costs.
Yeah, correct. So yes, no. So generally, I'll use in-person meetings. Generally, in-person meetings will pass a basket and people put a buck or two in it. Zoom meetings for people who are regulars, there might be a request to put some money send it to a treasurer. That money gets distributed. So sometimes for in-office or in-person meetings, some of the money goes for rent because often the meetings are held in a church or some other place that would require rent. And the rent is pretty nominal, usually like $20 or $30 a month. Some of the money gets distributed to World Service, which is the basic overarching Overeaters Anonymous. It is World Service. Some of it goes to Intergroup, which is basically a smaller local group of people who kind of help keep the structure going well, provide resources and so on. And some of it goes to the region, which is we're in Region 6 in this area, and it's pretty broad. It goes up into Canada. And again, it's kind of a group that helps provide resources and some structure.
And I had in my mind the scenes from many a movie or TV show of Alcoholics Anonymous, and they're always at the end of the meeting going back to the donuts and the coffee. But I imagine donuts mm-hmm. would be counterproductive at an OA meeting.
Genius. You're absolutely right. That would be counterproductive. So food is not permitted in the meetings, as far as I know. I would not go to a meeting where there is food. It is dangerous. And as I mentioned earlier, there are some meetings in which it's recommended that people not even mention foods, because if I mention a particular food, it could trigger somebody else's desire to eat. So you would be absolutely right. Food is not part of it.
I find it titillating that Overeaters Anonymous is going to have to change the 12 steps because we have to review the pronouns, you know, God's preferred pronouns. I wonder what his preferred pronouns are, and I'm hoping not to find out in the near future.
I don't know yet, and I don't even know that that's down the pipeline. So I would say that just when some people read the 12 steps and 12 traditions, as an individual, may change the pronouns as they read them. For it's the second tradition. So as God may, I don't even know it off the top of my head. I've been in program long enough. I've said these probably hundreds of times, but as God may express God's self, for example, instead of himself. So some people uh-huh. might say that. But that's not, I don't know that that's in the big, like the World Service pipeline.
Well, we're all getting more politically correct as the days go by. All right, we've got one more segment to do, so we're going to take a quick break here, and then we're going to come back and finish up with this incredibly important issue. I know, I'm listening to you right now, not you, Brittany. I'm listening to the murmurs behind you. I have great hearing that way. Oh, this is for somebody else. I'm not bad enough yet. I'm not there yet. But look what you've got in your hands. Is it a Hostess Ho-Ho? Is it a Dorito? Is it a Frito? Is it a French fry? Compulsive eating isn't a physical thing. It's a mental thing. And I personally, having no expertise in this area, think it's all with the distress and not feeling loved and all that stuff. So you got to work on the big picture, not just how do I avoid Doritos and stuff like that. You gotta work the brain. And maybe we'll talk about that in the next segment. It's Dr. Joe Berry with my special guest Brittany from Overeaters Anonymous. We'll be back after this short break. Of course, you're listening to WSYR on 570 AM and 106.9 FM.
News Radio 570 WSYR on iHeartRadio and 106.9 FM.
Was that AC/DC we're listening to? Not that it really matters. That's our bumper music for today, apparently. When I get back in the studio, I'll be able to get back to playing my music, whatever that might be. But my friends and frenemies were with Brittany from O-Readers Anonymous. We've been talking about the program. It's important that you think about this, not just for yourself, but for your family. None of this stuff happens in isolation. And I think that everyone at Overeaters Anonymous, at Alcoholics Anonymous, at Narcotics Anonymous, at Gambling Anonymous, you know, it's never just them. It's part of the whole structure of the family. And you may find with your evaluation of food, you may need to get more counseling. Go ahead. Get yourself some help. What's wrong with that? There's no shame in your game when you realize I'm deficient in some way and it's possible to make it better. But we're talking about Overeaters Anonymous. Brittany, tell me, what's the numbers again locally that people can call to find a meeting and get more questions asked?
Sure. I just got to pull it up really quick. So it is, okay, so phone number, and again, I'll repeat it twice, 315-967-3609. And again, it's 315-967-3609. And then the email is, I'll read it and then I'll phonetically spell it, dmn3125@gmail.com. So it's D as in dog, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, 3125@gmail.com. And again, it's D as in dog, M as in Mary, N as in Nancy, 3125@gmail.com.
All right. So tell us, Brittany, a little bit about yourself, if you're willing to. Tell me, what did you have for dinner last night?
For dinner last night? Oh, goodness. Oh, my goodness. I don't know. I'm on the spot. What did I have? Probably, I had chicken with fennel and peppers, red peppers, and some fruit.
And what's the healthiest thing you're eating?
Probably everything. I tend to have a pretty healthy diet generally, mostly whole foods that, you know, come from the sea, the land, you know, not chemicals. I do sometimes have chemicaled foods, but it's very, very rare. My foods are usually...
Are you getting any regular exercise?
Yes, that's one thing. So my weight has never really been an issue. I've been active all my life. From the age of 3, I was swimming and doing many things, and I'm still very, very active. So, yes, I get regular exercise, and actually I do it in large part because I enjoy it. I like being outside, but it helps my mental health, and if I'm calmer, I'm more likely to manage my program better.
Amen to that. And what about sleep? Are you getting restorative sleep?
To the best of my ability. So I personally have sleep apnea. I use a CPAP, and, it seems to be helping. I do my best. I don't always. And if I'm up in the middle of the night, it's not by design.
And what about stress? How do you manage stress?
Oh, my goodness. Well, many ways. I do my best to get good sleep, to eat right, exercise regularly, OA, or just having social support is helpful. Just spending time with friends not in program is helpful. Maintain doctor's appointments, dental appointments, stay out of legal trouble, manage my finances effectively. That's the basics.
Is there an Overeaters Anonymous app?
You know, that's a really good question, and I'm sorry I don't have the answer to that, but the website is oa.org, O as in Overeaters, and A as in Anonymous.org. And by the way, if somebody wants to, they can get a list of meetings through that. And maybe they can even find out if there's an app for that.
Well, your services have never been more important, as you know, your group's services. I know that from reading the book that Judy gave me, that you make a real effort to stay out of everything, out of politics, out of anything that could be contentious. Try and not have an organization, be as minimal as possible so that people don't get caught up in all that nonsense, et cetera. And, you know, after 2 years of COVID, when most of us have eaten anything we've gone through the healthy stuff, and then we went through the unhealthy stuff. Now we're scrounging in the back looking for, you know, Slim Jims that might have fallen through the cracks or that thing of popcorn we'd never think we cooked. You know, our health has not gotten better with the COVID. Of course, it should have, we should have taken the COVID as a call to arms, a call for alarm, because America's, you know, 46 in terms of health, we're number one in terms of expenses, but we didn't.
Proceeding has been a paid program brought to you by Dr. Joseph Berry.
The content of this show is that of Dr. Joseph Berry and does not reflect the views or policies of this station or iHeartMedia.
Some of the information contained in this program has not been approved by the FDA, nor is it intended to diagnose, treat, prevent, or cure any diseases. Before considering anything discussed on this program, consult your doctor or primary care.